If it's been a couple of weeks since we saw you, or you're joining us online for the first time in a couple of weeks, we have been journeying through the teachings of Jesus, known as the Beatitude, or the Blessed Sayings, trying to unpick this current blessedness and the promise of further future reward within each of these blessings. Now, Matthew Henry describes the Beatitude, and I like this, as eight characters of blessed people, which represent to you and I the principal graces of a believer. Amen. Today, we're back into Matthew chapter 5. Hallelujah. And Jesus begins this teaching. We all know this teaching incredibly well. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Then Jesus goes again in the scripture, says, blessed, interestingly, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of earth. And interestingly, the vast majority of Bible or biblical translations are almost identical when it comes to the Beatitudes. And so we are challenged in here today with this little four-letter word called, or which stands for, meek. That is not a word we use very often anymore. When was the last time you used the word meek? And so immediately, I had a battle. Straight away, I had a battle because, see, with my preconceived ideas or mine about what our natural mind sounds like, this word sounds kind of passive. To me, it's almost a submissive word or a word of surrender. And may I daringly say, it almost sounds like a word that is weak or a weakness. You see, meekness today is now recognized as a negative trait, interestingly. Whereas meekness was once thought of as a virtue. How the world has tragically and negatively changed in the way we view and the way we think things today. If you go back to the Old Testament, Moses was called more humble. That word is meek in there in some translations than anyone else in the entire face of the earth. That's Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. John Wesley wrote a hymn with these words, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, lay upon that little child. Pity my simplicity, suffer me to come to thee. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus says he is the example of meekness when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now, we read that again later on, but I wonder when we read that scripture there, is our conception of Jesus this mild-mannered, inoffensive man? Because then Jesus says, or yet Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, verse 49, I have come to bring fire on earth. I've come to bring fire on earth, and I wish it were already kindled. Amen. I do too. So let's read again Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, now from the NIV. First one was the King James Version. It says here, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Hallelujah. The word in both Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 11 is the word praios. It means gentle. It means humble. It means meek. Then the phrase humble in heart is the word tapinos, describing being so lowly seem, being so lowly in situation, of condition, and actually deferring to others. So when we look at the Beatitudes, most of those, now listen to this, most times, most of those who receive blessing would have been the least of the people in Jesus' culture. Fascinating. The poor, the mourning, the brokenhearted, and now, here, later on, the meek and humble are no exception. But with the oppressor, like Roman in Roman control of Israel, they wanted in this day and age to do the exact opposite of what Jesus had come to do. They wanted to rebel. They wanted to overthrow Rome. And they thought Jesus was exactly the right man for the job. Well, he is the right man for the job. How frustrating, but to the Israelites and God's people of that culture to recognize that regarding Jesus, this is not the plan. His plan is not to raise up rebels and overthrow governments, but instead to bring peace to individuals with a supernatural rest to their souls. Hallelujah. Love that. You see, meekness, doesn't have any honor in our world today either. Tragically so. Meekness, defined here as gentleness, or the state of not being provoked easily by an enemy or by an oppressor, of acceptance of our situation, of acceptance of our condition, no matter how challenging, has virtually no place in a revenge-based world that you and I are living in today. Today it's get back and get even. But that is not what Jesus was about. And that should neither be what the child of God is about either. Hence we have the Beatitudes. Matthew Henry says again, the meek are happy. Praise God. The meek are those who quietly submit or surrender to God. The meek are those who continue to bear fruit. They are silent or return with a soft answer, who in their patience keep possession of their own souls. Amen. When they can scarcely keep possession of anything else, but their souls matter to those who are meek in heart. The meek are ones who are happy even in the present world condition. You see, meekness promotes wealth. Meekness promotes comfort and safety even in this dark, difficult world that you and I are living in today. And so I begin to consider this word, and I begin to think that I personally, or we, ought to overflow with gratitude for the gifts and the mercies that Almighty God has given us. Amen. Because there's still a lack of gratitude in our world today. See, a worldly person wants more and more and more, and is envious of everything that others have that they cannot lay their hands on or they cannot possess. It's true. A godly soul, and I pray you have one, a godly soul is content. Praise God. Praise God. It's good to be content. It's good to be content in the things of God. It's good to have your soul at rest and peace in the things of God. And so a godly soul is the opposite of that, and that is the spirit of the Beatitudes. A godly soul is content with the grace and gifts that God has given them and chooses furthermore to honor God with all of these gifts. Hallelujah. And I wonder, do we do that with all the gifts that God has given to us? Do we honor God? Or do we take them captive and use them for the wrong purpose in our life today? Now, I discovered this, not coincidentally, on my journey through this particular beatitude: blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Alongside gratitude came one of the most favourite heart attitudes that we know here at Moss Vale. But that's a three-letter word. Pardon me, darling. Say it loudly. She gets it. She lives with it. Alongside gratitude is another spiritual and godly attitude. It's our favourite here. It's J-O-Y. I've got the joy where? In my soul. Down in my heart. So there's a part, this is tied in to the spirit or the heart of weakness. Because again, no matter what situation the child of God finds themselves in, the child of God who is lowly of spirit and humble of heart and meek and gentle. You see, you can still be an authority, but be meek and gentle of spirit. Did you hear that? That's interesting. So a meek and gentle spirit in a person or in a child of God will find joy in knowing the Heavenly Father has this outrageous plan for their lives. Praise God. I wonder if we've bought into that. Therefore, a person that is meek, listen to this now, this is important for you, all those with the faces that are tripping this morning, it's quite a few, the person that is meek is one that not only understands what thankfulness and gratitude and humility and joy is, but the child of God who has encapsulated or allowed that spirit to encapsulate their life is one who manifests humility, gratitude, and joy, and it pours out of your life. And if it doesn't, you will struggle to inherit the earth. Because it's blessed are those who are meek. It is blessed that are those who are humble who will gain the reward that comes with it. See, there has to come a humility of heart with a child of God. Because the opposite of that for you and I today, and we see it a lot, and it's ugly, is a spirit of arrogance. Indiscipline that so often pervades churches today. So I'm far from suggesting here excessive submission to others. That's not what we're talking about here. Meekness simply means direct submission to God. We come under the banner of His love. We are captive to His desires, to His will, to His thoughts. And if you do that, if you come under the banner of God's love and submit or surrender to God, then that gives you strength to obey. We must be in the place of obedience. So the meekness of Jesus meant that He carried His obedience all the way to death on a cross for my sake and for your sake. Hallelujah. So don't misunderstand meekness. From the courage and commitment of Jesus, we see there is also the opposite of boldness. In fact, the opposite of being meek, listen to this, the opposite of being meek is being egotistic. It is being arrogant. It is being aggressive. And the Bible tells us also to be bold, especially around speaking only out the truth of the Word of God. And we see that in Acts chapter 4. So the question is that I have to ask myself, and I am asking myself all these questions in reflection of the Beatitudes: how do I become meek in the sight of God? And it comes back to very basic layman's simple terms, and I love this. How do I become meek? Listen to this. I trust God will handle every single enemy who spurns me. And we exercise gratitude and joy in every circumstance. Why can I say that? Because I understood a long, long time ago, I don't need to get back at anybody. If God's coming, someone's coming against God's anointed, God will come back for me. God will take care of his anointed. We don't have to stand up and become aggressive or egotistic or spout out a lot of nonsense to get back, like an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. God will have revenge on our behalf. Hallelujah and praise God. You don't think God can handle it all. God can handle everything. So a person that is meek is one that expresses gratitude and joy, but also furthermore, he is one who exhibits incredible self-control. Do you know how many people in the world are out of control today? They are saying anything they want, doing anything they want, living any way they want, and that's Christians. We are called to a higher account, being children of God. We're called to a higher level of living, being a child of God. And that is not being good makes us better. Being godly makes us the man and woman that God wants us to be. That is the difference. And meekness, or a branch of meekness, is to be self-controlled in our life. You see, Jesus' words challenge my own personal desire for instant gratification and offers me blessings as I let God be in absolute control of every single facet of my life. Psalm 76 verse 9 says, "He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way." Amen. In Jesus' culture, they operated. You go back and read the Old and New Testament, but in Jesus' culture in the New Testament, they operated with an eye for an eye mentality. If someone were to wrong you, what would you do? You'd wrong them back. I don't want to be like that, Stephen. I don't want to live my life that way. I don't live my life as a vengeful man, needing revenge, needing to get back at. I don't want to live that life because that's not the life Jesus has called me to live. Jesus called me to live a life of peace. And if you think pastors are not done wrong to, and at times we would love not to be that, but love to be that, if you know what I'm saying. How many times we've had to, in grace, hold our tongues and love and be gracious when the worldly part of you is crying out, "Let me kill him." Sometimes you're glad the only sword you have in your hands is the Word of God. If it's a real life dagger, it might have went in a few times. See all those men not showing up on Wednesday nights? God have mercy. God have mercy. And see you wives that are keeping them in the house on Wednesday nights? Hallelujah. God love you. He guides the humble in what is right. Hallelujah. And teaches them his way. So if someone in that day was to wrong you, you want to wrong them back. The problem was this: in the culture and atmosphere of Jesus, retaliation, listen to this, retaliation is a never-ending cycle once you buy into that. Here Jesus calls us to snuff out the fire before it takes hold. Are you hearing this? We're trying that. We're working in that. And also don't misunderstand this with turn the other cheek in verse 39 of that same chapter. Meekness does not necessarily mean remaining quiet when we as a church see injustice take place in the world around us, or simply sitting back, you know, taking abuse in our families or in our world. That's a different story for a different day. But Matthew chapter 5 verse 5 says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Hallelujah. Similar to the poor, the meek are those who submit to God's authority. It's those who have made Jesus Lord of their lives. Praise God. And there is a receiving here, a blessing. There is an active promise. Jesus was in fact echoing something from Psalm 37 verse 11, thought to have been written by King David in his old age, when it says in the NIV, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Amen. Now the original, going right back to the King James Version, which most of you have probably never read, but this reads more eloquently and more beautiful than all other translations. Listen to this. But the meek shall inherit the earth, I love this, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Praise God. Inherit the earth, although it's part of the Beatitudes, is not found in the parallel of the Gospel of Luke in Luke chapter 6 and verse 20. Remember, a couple of weeks ago we said, week one, about Matthew's writings being more to a Jewish audience of the two books. So we should have the two contexts in mind as we look at this. An Israelite speaking to other Israelites about who will inherit the land of Israel and how they should act in order to inherit the land. And our final reward for the children of God here at the end of days, when Jesus Christ, praise God, will return and reign in a new heaven and a new earth with you and I forevermore. Hallelujah. So Revelation 21 verse 1, when John's speaking, he says, then I saw a new heaven, I saw a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Because if you go further on there to verse 7 of the same chapter, a loud voice from the throne of God descending from heaven says, God's children will inherit all things. In other words, it says, those who are victorious in all things will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Amen. I wonder how many of us are conquering the situations of our life. I wonder how many of us are getting victory over the struggles of our life. The petty stuff that we buy into that takes up and consumes so much time of our day-to-day living are unimportant things most of the time. God is talking about more significant things here, like your soul. And where you will spend eternity and how blessed you will be if we live in order and follow the instructions of these wonderfully written by Jesus Beatitudes. It says in Romans 8 verse 7, Paul says, listen, we are joint heirs with Christ. Amen. Wow. Can you believe that? We are joint heirs with Christ. It says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Praise God. And so the paraphrase for this beatitude, listen to this, is, blessed are those who submit to God as Lord, for they will possess absolutely everything he possesses. One amen. What a reward that is. Here's the encouragement. Let you and I, let us wholeheartedly seek after this blessing. Let us choose to live for him and then reign with him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, Paul says, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation, hallelujah, that is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. You can, where are you, Peter? I saw you there. Come on up. I'm just going to tie it up here. How do we do this? How do we do this? Why don't you go ahead, put your Bibles and everything down and just stand now. I want you to hear this. Very much of the Beatitudes is the grace aspect of the Ten Commandments. We have grace for everything that's going on in our life right now. Here's part of the challenge for some today, perhaps. So you just close your eyes. Find yourself in a posture to receive from the Holy Spirit, receive from God. Again, every week this is going to touch and tap into different people. You will know who you are because the Holy Spirit will reveal this to you. How do we do this? We hear something. Some of us are going to have to reject the arrogance that we have bought into. Some of us are going to have to reject the aggression of this world that we have believed to be true. But God also gave me a word. It's a tough one. So I know this is for the elect of God here today. Your heart has hardened so much so there was no humility, there was no meekness, but your life has become one of cynicism. And you're now in a place where you're seeing everything through cynical eyes. And the Lord would say, this is for you today. This is not a word of condemnation. This is a word of correction. It's a word to chastise, which gives you the opportunity to stand up. Because what do we do with arrogance and aggression and cynicism regarding this spirit of meekness? Well, Word of God says you have a very clear choice to lay it down. Simple. Everything that contaminates us of this world, we have the opportunity always to cast it off. To cast that care on Him, for He cares for us. To lay that down at the foot of the cross. The issue that most church-believing people or God-fearing people have is we have an emotional moment with God. And we say, yes, you're speaking to me, Pastor. I'm laying it down. And something happens on Monday and we pick it back up again. And the aggression and the cynicism spews out of our lives again. See, the Beatitudes are a lifestyle of challenge. And if we accept the challenge and change, the rewards for you and I are eternal. They're not for a moment, then they vanish. They're eternal. It says in Scripture, but you, O man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. In the Old Testament, the prophet Zephaniah said, seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, you who do what He commands, seek righteousness, seek humility. And we want that heart of meekness to be part of the makeup at Moss Vale. Because we know in doing so that God will take care of us. And anything that needs to be done in the realm of protection, God will figure that out for us as long as we keep ourselves tapped into the throne of mercy and grace. I'm going to pray. Then we're going to allow the band to sing a song here, just as a response for you to kind of chew on what's been said. There's going to be no altar calls or nothing at all here this morning, because we don't want to embarrass anyone. That's not what we do. So I'm going to pray, then we're going to worship. And as you do, if that word's been for you, you need to deal with an arrogant heart, an aggressive spirit, or a hardened heart, a cynical view. Lay it down. Lay it down. Father, we pray today that you would, by your Spirit, would draw every one of us into meekness. Lord, we pray that you would soften our hearts, that you would remind us of the beautiful gift of gentleness. That you would show us through Jesus how to live in love every single day. We pray that you would forgive us of our sins and open our eyes and our hearts to the forgiveness for others in our lives. We ask that you'd help us to guard our speech, that the words we say would be life-giving and glorifying to you. Amen. We are so grateful, Lord. Oh, yes. We are so grateful for your refining fire in our lives. Bless you, Lord. We pray now that your Spirit would fall afresh on every man, woman, and child in this room today, in the wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. So if you need to do a little bit of time with the Lord today, here's your opportunity to do so. And be blessed, and don't be proud. Just commit it into his hands, and let the beautiful blessing and peace of God wash over you today, knowing you can leave this place in a few moments changed by the touch of God. Peter.